Good morning. Hope you're having a good day. It was a beautiful ride down here, and it was a blessing to see all that farmland, and it was beautiful. I'm married to my lovely wife, Kara. We've been married 4 years this month, and it's been a great joy of our life. We've known each other since I was going into 7th grade, and she was going into 6th grade. We met at church at VBS one day, and it wasn't love at first sight, but it developed, and now we're deeply in love. We have 3 children. I have a daughter who turns 3 this month. In fact, we had a birthday party yesterday with some of our family, and it was just a great time. She loved all the gifts. She wanted more and more and more and more. We got to work on that, but she's just really sweet. Her name's Adeline, and then I have a son named Jubal Daniel. We'll call him JD, and he is about 20 months, and he's a blessing as well. He's all boy, and he's just really neat to be around. He loves tractors and trucks and those Thomas engines. He loves those too. And then I have another boy named Jebediah, and Jebediah James. We'll call him JJ for short. And he's only 6 months, but he's also a joy. So it's a blessing to be here with you today. For the last 3 years or more, a little more than 3 years, I've been the youth pastor at Trinity Baptist Church, and I've been able to serve there. It's been a great blessing, working with the youth, leading mission trips, and working with camp, and as well as the programs during the year. And it's been a great blessing working with that. But the Lord has been working in our hearts. We have a burden for missions as well as church planning. We're open to wherever the Lord would lead us. We're just praying for direction. And so we took a step of faith and resigned from our ministry there. We're still serving on great terms. We helped out with VBT this last week, and just have a great time being there at Trinity. But we're pursuing whatever the Lord would have for us next. And in the meantime, filling the pulpit wherever the Lord leads, and that brings us here today. It's good to be here. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. You're probably already there. I have a dream to be a person with a green thumb. But my dream has not always come true. In fact, it has yet to come true. I remember when I was a teenager working around the yard, weed whacking. My mom had lovely flowers, and it seemed like every time I weed whacked, I cut the wrong ones. To me, they looked just like the weeds. And so I wanted to be good at gardening. You know, I even tried it with my yard. We had some patches where it was caved in, so I put in some dirt, and I decided I was going to plant some real nice grass there. And it was going to turn out great. I could envision it. It was going to be some of the greenest, luscious grass I have on my where we live, and it was just going to be beautiful. Neighbors were going to be coveting it and just looking at it. It was going to be great. But no, all that came up was crabgrass, and sometimes not even that came up. And so I messed that up. And then I decided, well, I'll trim our bushes. We have some blueberry bushes, and I went to work on those. And no blueberries this year, and we're hoping for next year, maybe. But I wish I had a green thumb. I've always had a desire or at least an interest in farming. But it's all right that I'm not that I don't have a green thumb in farming. But it's never all right for the believer to not have a green thumb in spiritual sowing or spiritual farming. Every believer, as we look at this parable today, needs to be a sower. And we see as we look at this passage that God wants us to proclaim the gospel faithfully. And I want to look at this parable that Jesus uses to teach his disciples and uses to confront those unbelievers in the midst. And I want to look at it and gain some truths for us to take into our lives and then to change our lives and to live this out. And we see some major truths that stand out in this passage. But first, let's have a word of prayer as we concentrate on proclaiming the gospel faithfully. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful, amazing, the best gift you gave to us. And he came and he lived a perfect life and he died the perfect death. The death that could pay all of our sin. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. And we're so thankful for that. We're also thankful for the great gift of your word. Father, we jump into it now, desiring to learn from it and to grow in it, that we might learn more about you, more about what you want for us, and then take it home and apply it in our daily lives. I pray, Father, you bring conviction to my heart as well as the hearts of the hearers today, and that we'd have a burden to be sowers of the Word. Father, it's all right that we not succeed in earthly farming, but may we all succeed in spiritual farming. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I'd like you to see, it's on your handout, that we must remember our responsibility. We must remember our responsibility. And under that, we must share the Word of God with all people. We must share the Word of God with all people. I'm going to start reading again. I want to review what we have read in our scripture reading. And I'm just going to read part of the passage, but starting there in verse 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. First, you must share the Word of God with all people. Starting there in verse 1, it describes where Jesus is. He's by the Sea of Galilee. It says, And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude. Jesus is going around the Sea of Galilee, and they believe that where he came to was an area that formed a natural amphitheater. We don't know for sure. But it created such an area where there was a lot of people, and he was going to teach them, and it forced him to go out on this little boat and teach from the sea. They're sitting on the sea or in the boat, and teach this great multitude. And it says the word multitude, and it's important to understand what this multitude was. If we're going to understand some truths from this passage, we need to understand who is in this multitude. And as we see developing through the book of Mark, if you turn over to Mark chapter 2, we're going to see some of the people that are going to be part of this multitude. Verse 7, verses 1 through 6, they brought a man to Jesus to heal. And Jesus says, Sons, thy sins be forgiven thee, in verse 5. In verse 7, there's some questions from the Pharisees and the religious leaders. He says this, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? So there's doubters among them. And you turn over to verse 16, and it says, And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? So they have a real problem with Jesus. They're not believing his message. They have a problem with the way he's doing ministry. You go over to verse 24 and you see it some more. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath that which is not lawful? So he's questioning Jesus' practices and his disciples. You jump over to chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, it says this, And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto them, Stretch forth thine hand. He's healing a person. And he stretched it out, and his hands were restored whole as the other. In verse 6, the reaction to this miracle, And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. These are some of the people that are part of this multitude. There's a lot of unbelievers, people who are not receiving the message of Jesus, the Word of God. They're rejecting who Jesus is, and they're part of this multitude. And Jesus comes by the seaside, and he realized that some of these unbelievers, these people that keep rejecting the truth of who he is, are among this multitude. But we also see in verse 7 and 8 that there are those that are following Jesus because they believe. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they had heard that great things he did, came unto him. So there's people coming because there's believers. There's people that are coming because they're interested in what Jesus is teaching. And they want what he has. And so there's this this great schism in this multitude. And yet Jesus is going to teach them all here on the Sea of Galilee. He uses the word here 10 times in chapter 4. And we see at the beginning and at the end of this parable, He uses the word here. It says there in verse 3, "Hearken," or "hear, behold, there went out a sower to sow." Verse 9, it says this, "He that hath ears, let him hear." So He's speaking to both of these groups of people that are within this multitude, and He's telling them to hear. And He says it again and again and again. And I'm trying to get you to see something. And we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. But He decides to teach them with a parable. What does a parable mean? Well, it's a comparison. A good illustration of a parable is stained glass. When you look at a church building with stained glass on the outside, it's not very pretty. It's kind of dull. Doesn't really grab you. But when you go inside a building and you see the sunlight coming through that stained glass, all of a sudden it has great color and beauty. And Jesus is going to use a parable or a comparison to teach the things of God. And unless you take the step of belief, you will not see the great color or the great clarity of His teaching. And what He's doing is He's presenting a decision for those believers and unbelievers to either accept Him or reject Him. If they will only accept Him and come to Him and follow Him and seek after the answers to these, then He will teach them and they will see the words of life. But if those that are going to continue to reject Him and reject Him, will not, those that will not believe Him, they will not be able to see the truth that He's trying to proclaim. And so He uses this parable. And sure enough, His beloved disciples come back and they want to learn more about what Jesus is teaching. They don't understand, but they're seeking after the truth. And Jesus explains it, and we'll explore that a little bit later, but as Jesus explains it, we find out that these four soils represent four kinds of people. And you go over to verse 13, and it says this, "And He said to them, Know ye not this parable, and how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word." Jesus describes in this parable that the farmer, the sower, the person who's casting out the seed is really explaining or describing a person who sows the word of Christ or the word of God, the truth of Scripture. And as we're going to study in a little bit, we're going to see that that word falls on four different categories. In fact, three of those categories reject what the word of Christ is. And what we need to see as we look at this is that Jesus showed by example, by declaring the truth. Now, granted, it was hidden, but He was declaring the truth to unbelievers and believers. And He describes this farmer, this sower, as sowing to four categories of soil. In fact, if it was a true farming illustration, he'd be a bad farmer because he threw it on bad areas. But He's describing someone who's sharing the gospel with all people. And we must remember our responsibility as believers that it is not us who decides who should receive the gospel. It is our responsibility to share the gospel with all people. And it's not for us to go out and figure out, is this person going to receive the message of Jesus Christ? It is our responsibility just to share and to give the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word. I went to an Irving gas station not too long ago, and they're having a promotional day, and they had gas at a cheap price. They were doing full service, so they pumped it for me. And you know what else they did? It was really neat. They gave out energy drinks. I don't know if you've seen those energy drinks in the store. They have all different colors, and supposedly they help you in different ways. But they gave me an energy drink, and they said, "What color do you want?" And I normally pick orange because I just like orange flavoring. They didn't ask me if I was going to drink it. They didn't ask me if I was going to spill it or if I was just going to throw it away. They just said, "What color do you want?" And they gave me a drink. I think I did end up spilling some of it. I ended up drinking some of it and I ended up throwing some of it away. But that wasn't their reason for giving it to me. Their reason was they just wanted to give it to me. And one important lesson we learn from this parable is that the farmer threw seed to all four categories of soil. He threw seed on soil that would not grow a plant, on soil that would not grow a lasting plant, and on soil that would produce great, great plants. This is the way we need to be with the gospel and with the Word of God. We need to be bold to share the gospel with all people. I'll be honest, sometimes when I see a rich person, or sometimes an older person, or sometimes a scary person, they got a mohawk sticking up, or just someone that they just don't look real nice, I'm scared to share the gospel, and sometimes I don't. But it is not my responsibility to decide who's going to receive it. It is my responsibility to share. And the same goes for every believer. So the question is, who do you share the gospel with? Maybe you don't share the gospel at all. Maybe you don't share how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead and made it so that we can have a right relationship with God. Maybe you never share that. Maybe you never pass out a tract. But we should be. And we shouldn't be biased in how we do it. We should be trying to do it to all people. It doesn't mean we're not wise in how we do it and not careful. But we need to be sharing and seeking to share God in all places with all men. At your workplace, around those people that swear and do all those awful things, you need to be sharing the gospel with them. It is our responsibility. When you go to that restaurant and you see that waiter or waitress, there's a potential there to share the gospel, at least leave a track. When you go through the toll booth, when you see those lost loved ones that come to those family reunions, do you ever share to or seek to share the gospel with them? Because really, it is our responsibility to do that, not to decide whether they will receive it or not. The sower sowed on all four types of soil. But if we're going to know or be able to meet our responsibility to share the gospel, we do need to understand the responses to God's Word. And I believe that's what Jesus is trying to teach His disciples. There's going to be different responses to God's Word. The first three types of soil, Mark uses the aorist tense in Greek. And it symbolizes a quick hearing, a superficial hearing, an in one ear and out the other type of hearing. What we see in the fourth soil that he talks about, that he uses a different tense, the present tense. Which signifies a lasting hearing, a hearing that results in genuine belief. Let's read 14 through 20. 14 through 20. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sowing. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. First, we look at the hard soil. There in verse 15, it says this, and these are they by the wayside, where the word is sowing. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. Jesus describes a situation that would have been natural for those that would have grown up in Palestine. They would have known about farming. And sure enough, this farmer, this sower, goes out and he casts out seed, and some of it falls on the wayside. The wayside is the path. It would have been trodden down by many years of people walking on it, and the seed could not penetrate the soil. And so what would happen is, hungry birds would come by and they would eat that seed. And Jesus uses this to describe the hard heart of unbelief. The person who continually rejects the Word of God. And he uses it to describe how this person continually rejects the Word of God, and then the devil and his demons come by and they snatch away any resemblance of that Word and takes that away. The hard soil is picturing the person who hears the Word with hard-hearted unbelief. They're hard with unbelief. Instead, the devil quickly comes and removes it through their unbelief. Kind of reminds me of Maybe you've had this situation before. You have a friend, and you're riding down the street, and they're going a little too fast, and you tell them, slow down, slow down. There's always a police officer right up here. And they don't believe you, and they just keep going, and they reject it. They never believe they're going to get pulled over, and sure enough, in a little bit, you're pulled off on the side of the road, and they didn't receive what you told them. They had hard-hearted unbelief. This is the person who just continually rejects the Word of God. Verse 16 and 17 describes the stony soil. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. Palestine had its share of stony soil. And what you'd find is they had a lot of limestone, and so often the limestone would be right underneath the soil, and you'd have a little bit of soil on top of a lot of rock. And sure enough, the plant would start off, but when the heat arose or when there was like some rain, flash flood, whatever, whenever the trials of growing came along, that plant was washed away. And Jesus uses this. The stony soil represents the person who enthusiastically hears the Word but does not really believe. They get excited for a time, but the trials of life reveal that they were not genuine. They didn't have a true belief. It uses the word affliction. It's the idea of trials and persecution. And this is stuff that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. If we're Christians, we're going to go through persecution and affliction. And sure enough, their enthusiasm was unbelief, and their enthusiasm when the trials came left, and they were not committed. They were not committed. It was not a committed enthusiasm. It's like when our children ask for a pet. They ask for a pet, and we say, well, you'll have to take care of the pet. You'll have to feed the pet and take the pet for walks, and you really need to be committed to this. And they're enthusiastic about it, and they're excited about it. And they say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do it. And sure enough, a week later, after the pet comes, who's taking care of the pet? Mom and dad. And the children's enthusiasm is left, and they were not committed to it. It's the same idea there. The person who hears the Word of God, and at first they're enthusiastic about it, but then when they see the trials of life, possibly the things they'll have to give up, the persecution that comes with knowing Christ, they reveal that their belief was not genuine. And then there's the thorny soil. In verses 18 and 19 it says this, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Some seed fell on soil that was also planted with thorns. And so, as the plant grew, so would the thorns, and the thorns would steal the nutrients and the sunlight that the plant needed, and sure enough, would choke it out so the plant would die. And Jesus uses this to describe the person who hears the word, but is more concerned with the cares of the world. And he describes it, Mark describes it in a few ways, that what this person is distracted from. He worries about life. He's concerned about life, the cares of this world. And you might see this described like this. The person would say, I might lose all my friends and my family will be upset with me. They're concerned about the cares of this life. He's also, this person might be thrown away by the deceit of the riches of the world. And they might say something like this. I want popularity and I want money and I want whatever I want. I want a nice house, a nice car, a nice boat. And if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, if I follow after Him and become His disciple, then I might not have all these things. And another excuse they might give is that they might be caught up in the desires for the pleasure of this life. And it might look like this. I want to live for me and not for someone else. I want to live for me and not for someone else. Later on, I'll make that decision. These are the three bad soils. Then comes the fourth soil, the good soil. And he uses a different tense. He uses the present tense. And he describes a different kind of listening. The listening of the first three soils was an in one ear, out the other. Not a committed, maybe a little bit enthusiastic, but not a committed belief or a a desire to follow after this. Whereas the good soil is different. The good soil could be punctured by the seed, and it had sufficient nutrients to produce a great plant. This is the type of soil all farmers are looking for. A good, black, healthy soil. The good soil represents a person who hears the word, believes the word, and produces fruit. And we notice, remember, that 75% of the categories do not receive the word. And sometimes we lose our focus because we try sharing the gospel with all people and we continually get rejected and rejected and rejected. But the truth is Jesus already told us that this was going to happen. I looked up some statistics in an old Baptist magazine on missionaries, and there were many missionaries who waited 12 years before they saw their first convert. There were Moravians in Greenland who waited 17 years before their first convert. And then there was a Mr. Buckner in Java who he waited over 30 years before seeing any converts. Now, I'm not saying we don't question the way we present the gospel and make sure that we're doing it accurately. God does bless. But sometimes we lose heart when we share the message of Christ because we see people reject it again and again and again. But this is what Jesus described. This happened to Jesus. And if we're going to fulfill our responsibility, we need to share the gospel with all people, but we can't lose heart when people reject us or reject the message of God. People are going to do that. It is our responsibility to share with everyone. Don't be discouraged. We need to keep sharing. I want to look at the last verse just for a couple more minutes. It says this, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Though the word will often be rejected, some will hear and produce great fruit." You need to understand that in Palestine, a fruit of 10 to 1 was very, very, very good. That was a blessed crop. And Jesus describes the good soil as producing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. That was unheard of. In fact, if you were in Palestine and you were following Jesus in those days, you were by the Sea of Galilee, and he were to describe this parable, and he said that, you would have been caught off guard. You would have been, "Whoa, that's a lot of fruit." And we must remember the result when we really do share the gospel, because there are people that are going to receive it. There are soils that God is working on, and they're going to receive the message of Jesus Christ and come to know Him as their Savior. And the frustrations of rejection become worthwhile when one person receives the truth and abundantly produces fruit. My pastor growing up used to tell this story, and I like it a lot, so I think it illustrates his point. One day a man was walking along the beach when he noticed a boy picking something up and gently throwing it into the ocean. Approaching the boy, he asked, "What are you doing?" The youth replied, "Throwing starfish back into the ocean. The surf is up and the tide is going out. If I don't throw them back, they'll die." "Son," the man said, "don't you realize there are miles and miles of beach and hundreds of starfish? You can't make a difference." And listening politely, the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it back into the surf. Then, smiling at the man, he said, "I made a difference for that one." As believers, we need to remember that our responsibility is to share. And we must remember that we cannot lose heart, because it's already been told us that people are going to reject the gospel. It is our responsibility to share. And we must remember this, that there is a reward. There is a result. When that one person or those several people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and produce abundant fruit, it is so worth it. Maybe there's a soul out there today that says, I don't understand what you're talking about. And let me just start off with the foundation of it all. We were condemned as sinners. We are sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We have rebelled and turned against God. In fact, James describes us as enemies of God. But God made a way. It says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God saw us in this helpless state, and He loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And He became the sacrifice. He took the penalty we deserved. And He died on that cross, and then He rose from the dead, conquering that sin and death. He was the only one who could do it. We either take our penalty or He takes it for us. And He paid that debt there on the cross. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It also says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if we admit that we're sinners, and we realize and believe that Jesus is the one who died in the place for our sin, and we call out upon Him and say, please save us from our sin, we can have a relationship with God. That's the foundation. That's what it's all based off. That develops a relationship with God, a relationship that will never end. And in order to understand the truths that I've shared today, it needs to start with that. You need to accept what Jesus has done for you first. And then you too can be a proclaimer of the gospel. Believer, I hope that this week, I pray this even for my own life, we'd be good sowers. We wouldn't be good farmers in the earthly sense because we'd be sowing seed everywhere and wasting it. But as Christians, as we sow spiritual seed, we need to sow it on all grounds, on all soils. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God. It is so rich and abundant in truth. And Father, we live in a world that is so filled with lies and falsehood, deceit. And Father, we come to You on Your day seeking to learn more truth, to be refreshed and prepared for the week ahead of us. And I pray, Father, that there would be souls in this room that would make a decision even right now to share the gospel with those people at work, to stop being afraid or discouraged, but to continue to be faithful and sharing. I pray, Father, that if there's anybody in this room that does not know You, have a relationship made right with You, and Lord, that they would turn to You with all their heart and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Thank You for the privilege and the blessing it is to share Your Word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.